Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. Welcome to Trailblazers. I'm your host, Melody Bradford. Sometimes the most courageous career move isn't climbing higher. Sometimes it's having the courage to stop climbing the wrong ladder. Today's trailblazer is Melissa Smith, the founder of Balance and Bloom. Melissa is a Duke-certified health and wellness coach who helps women who are exhausted, overwhelmed, disconnected, or simply ready for something more to rediscover their spark and trust themselves again. But Melissa's story isn't just about wellness. It's about risk. It's about walking away from a successful career in corporate America to pursue a dream that wouldn't leave her alone. It's about building a business while being a wife and mother, navigating challenges, finding purpose, and discovering that sometimes the person you need to rescue isn't someone else, it's yourself. Melissa hasn't just built a coaching practice, she's built a movement around mindfulness. With confidence, energy, community, and intentional living, from the Spark Effect training for executive leaders to group scope coaching, speaking engagements, and wildlife wisdom at the zoo, she even helped bring mindfulness into a children's book through Joshua, a project that's near and dear to my heart. She has coached women and men through some of life's hardest transitions, so today we're going to talk about what happens when you stop living on autopilot and decide to bloom on purpose. Melissa Smith, welcome to Trailblazers.
Thank you, Melody.
Yay, I'm so glad you're here. Before we talk about Balance and Bloom, I want to talk about you. Who were you before you became the coach, entrepreneur, and woman sitting across from me today? And what experiences shaped the way you see people and leadership and life? Talk to me a little bit about that, because I knew you before, right? Mm-hmm. I knew you when. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about that.
I feel like being a health coach is new, but being a coach overall is not new, a new venture for mm-hmm. me, because I've been a flag football coach and a youth basketball coach for many years now. Mm-hmm. So the coaching thing just comes really natural. The entrepreneur part of me is not as natural. And that's, you know, the newer part of me.
Yeah.
But I feel like that was a part of me that has been looking to come out for a while now.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I mean, so you had a pretty successful career in sales, mm-hmm. right? So there's a level of entrepreneurship to that. Mm-hmm. You've also managed people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've coached in a sense from right. that perspective. But I mean, if we look at historically, you had a stable environment, right?
Yes.
And entrepreneurship is a little scary. And you had a proven track record. Take us back to that moment when you realize, I can't keep doing this, which was corporate America. Mm-hmm. I have to build the life I'm actually called to live. And how terrifying was it to make that decision? Because I think we've all been there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like all of us have a piece of ourselves that we say that we wonder what would happen if we actually went after what we really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us do, and some of us don't, and that's okay. I did not hate corporate. I never hated any of the jobs I had. Mm-hmm. I loved working for the Morning Call and for Adams Outdoor and my last company, Pack Oil Company. I really liked it all, and I liked being a sales manager. But there was something in me that it just didn't feel right. The only way I can describe it is, you know, when you're young and you're dating and we've all been in love with people other than our spouses. But when we meet our spouse, we know it. Like that's when we know it. And that's how I feel now. I liked all my other jobs. It was great. But I've met the one.
Yeah.
I've met what I've always been meaning to do.
Quick save, because Rick's probably he's listening to this and he's scratching his chin. Wait a minute. Yeah, exactly. What did you have to risk, not just financially, but emotionally and personally, to walk away from the familiar? And was there ever a moment you thought to yourself, what have I done? Because I think a lot of people take pause
and you and I have had discussions about this ad nauseum, mm-hmm. you know.
It is the scariest thing I've ever done in my entire life. It's only been, I officially became an entrepreneur. I know the date on September 30th, 2025. Mm-hmm. So it's coming up on a year anniversary. But I'm planning on celebrating that day. Mm. I really am. I'm planning on going nuts on that day. Just saying, you know, thinking back to all the things that I did this year. And I'm proud I took that leap. Is it scary? Yes. Were there times when I was thinking to myself, you know, is it too late to turn back? But it was. Every time, you know, I just kept, once I decided to do it, I was like, okay, I'm all in. That's it. And once my husband agreed that he was in it too, it was like, okay, we're all in now. So the days that I felt like maybe I should turn back, I was like, I'm too far. I've gone too far. I'm in this now. So yeah. There is no turning back. And as long as I had his support, you know, it was kind of like we balance each other out. On the days when I felt down and, you know, like I needed someone to lift me up, he was there, and vice versa. On the days that he felt like, oh, this is really getting tough because the whole burden, financial burden, is on him now, mm-hmm. I would lift him up. So, I mean, we couldn't do it without each other's support. That's for sure.
And this is, you know, a little unscripted, but I know this story. Just talk to me about that walk in the woods, mm-hmm. and how he showed up for you. Because I think it's, you know, I think it's really, especially in a, you guys have been married several years.
18.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 18 years. So I think it's important for our partners to show up for us in certain ways. And if, you know, maybe this would be good advice, but talk to me a little bit about that walk in the woods and how that went. Mm-hmm.
So I had a feeling that something was going to happen, mm-hmm. with my last job. I just had that gut feeling. Mm-hmm. And I told him, you know, we should probably prepare for what's next.
And this is, by the way, after corporate, like you were working in a position, you had brought in one of their largest clients.
This was,
and stuff happens.
Pfizer,
corporate,
during
happens.
COVID. Yeah,
yeah.
Like type client. Yeah,
exactly.
It was big.
Okay.
And, you know, a few years, this was like early 2025, and I started thinking we have to come up with a backup plan. And he just said, what do you like to do? We were walking the dogs. And that was the turning point, was when he asked me that question, me getting curious. Because as moms who are always taking care of our kids and our spouses and work stuff and sports and PTA and church, all of the above, do we ever get curious about ourselves enough to really sit and think, what do I like to do? Mm-hmm. What does give me energy? And when he asked me that, it was this really long pause. And I'm like, that's a good question.
What do you want?
What do I want? And right away, health and wellness came to mind. I've always loved going to the gym and working out and eating right and reading about longevity. And so he said, well, dive into that. See what comes out of that. And then I found health and wellness coaching, which I knew nothing about at the time. And it was off to the races after that. Once I read about the certificate program at Duke and how to become a certified health and wellness coach, I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And we'll get into a little bit about you know, your training and things of that nature, because mm-hmm. that's really prestigious to be aligned with Duke. But the name Balance and Bloom is beautiful, first of all.
Thank you.
But I suspect there's a deeper philosophy behind it. What does balance actually mean to you, and what does it mean to bloom? Because I'm guessing you've learned that balance doesn't mean everything is perfectly balanced all the time.
That's right. As much as we like to say there's work-life balance, There's no 50-50, really, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's always something that takes precedence over another thing in our life. So what I like to envision is myself juggling. And there are some rubber balls that I'm juggling, and there are some glass balls. Mm. And so the glass balls are my values. And those are my family, those are my faith, and those are my health.
I love that.
The glass balls cannot break. You can't let those go. So those are always at the top. Everything else is rubber. Even serious things that we think of, like our career and our finances and our mortgage. I mean, yes, those are serious things. But if those drop, they'll bounce back up. They're rubber. But you can't let your highest values break, because those will shatter.
Family, faith.
Family, faith, and health.
Yes. I love that. You teach people how to navigate stress, burnout, mindset, and major life transitions, but you don't get a pass from life because you're a coach, right?
Right.
What adversity have you personally faced while building Balance and Bloom, and what has that adversity taught you that no certification perhaps ever could?
I think most of all, it is surrounding myself with people who believe in me. That's really the number one thing that has gotten me through. Not only Rick, but like my mom. My mom, when I had the Spark event, mm-hmm. you know, she knew that I was getting paid for those tickets. And even though she knew she was working that day, she bought a ticket. Mm-hmm. And she never told me. I actually found out afterwards when I was looking over the guest list and the people that bought tickets so I could follow up. Her name was on there. My sister-in-law's name was on there, too. Mm-hmm. And neither one of them planned. Like, they just couldn't come. They worked. But they bought tickets anyway.
They showed up.
And they showed up, right.
From that perspective.
Yes.
That's incredible.
And my sister continues to show up for me. And there are days when I feel lonely and I show up for me. That's the most, if no one else believes in me, the most important thing is that I believe in me. And I look at myself in the mirror and I say, you can do this. You're going to do this. You just keep on moving.
Mm-hmm. And you're not just building a company now. You're actually, you're a wife, you're a mom, three boys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful boys. What has motherhood taught you about leadership, and what has entrepreneurship taught you about being a mother? And you and your husband are both actually pursuing your own career dreams, you know, from an entrepreneurial perspective. What does it take for two people in the same family to chase big dreams, have the family, without losing sight of the family that you're building together?
It takes a lot of communication.
Date nights. Date nights.
Well, you know, we have morning coffees. Our nights are crazy because of the sports and all the stuff that the boys have to do. But our mornings, we're very lucky because we both don't have to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. We drink coffee together on the porch usually, and we just talk about whatever it is that we need to discuss for the morning. And so it could be heavy, it could be not heavy, but we have learned to really put it out there and communicate. I mean, I think that's the most important thing. In terms of motherhood, one of the scariest things about starting this and not having a safety net underneath me was that I didn't want my boys to feel this at all. You know, there were so many times in my head I'm like, they are at this age where they want everything. Mm-hmm. They want to go on vacations and they want the clothes. And my son is 16 and wants the car and you want to do all that for them. Mm-hmm. You want, but so I, you know, thought to myself, we have to pinch pennies right now. We have to. And so we had a family meeting and we talked about it. And I asked them every couple of months, hey, how are you guys doing? Are you feeling the effects of anything? Are you feeling neglected in any way? They haven't felt a single thing, not a single thing. And so actually I like seeing that because it makes me know, hey, we don't need these big extravagant vacations. We don't need to be saying yes all the time to all the things that we want. You know, we can have a backyard campfire and be just fine. And we can go to, you know, the drive-in movies, or we can even watch movies at our house. And we play board games, and I learned chess this summer from my one son. So, you know, none of those things cost money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, what that taught me was we don't need to live off of a lot of money to still be able to enjoy each other's company.
And, you know, you're building the family up in really impactful ways. I mean, some of those little things that you're doing, the drive-in, the backyard, you know, fire, whatever, those are things that I think a lot of people take for granted. And, it's, you know, like people are big destination or big, you know, circumstance, mm-hmm. when in reality, sometimes it's the little things that kind of make the biggest impact. You had shared, and I'm going off script just because I know your story, but you had shared that you had sat down at a diner with some friends, and it was you and it was Rick and it was this other couple, and you guys had just kind of made a list of what you wanted to accomplish. Why was that exercise so important, and why is it so impactful as you build yourself up, not just as a coach, but as an entrepreneur, as a mom, to kind of give you the reassurance that you're on the right track and the sacrifices that you are making are worthwhile. Why is that so important? And what advice would you give to other people that are in the same space?
Our brains need to see that we are able to accomplish something.
Progress.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so those lists that we make, we call it Operation Baby Steps. Mm. Operation Baby Steps, because we're not taking big leaps and bounds. We're just, we have goals in mind and we just do little baby steps. And every time one of us has an achievement, we text the group so that we can all, you know, cheer. And but these lists that we make, is each one of those things is telling our brain, look at what you've accomplished. Mm-hmm. Next time you set out to achieve a goal, you can do it again.
Yeah.
And then you can do it again. So it's just our way of showing, hey, we're doing this. We're taking these baby steps. We're on repeat. We're cheering each other on. We have that community. And we're showing our brains that we can do it.
And so you basically make this list. You put it into an envelope, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. right? And then you revisit it a year later.
A year later.
When's that next meeting coming
So it up? Is November.
Okay.
Last year we met at the Nazareth Diner.
Okay.
And our baby step, what do I want to say, like highlight, was that we wanted to have our next meeting be in France.
Oh, my.
So we were hoping that it could still happen. We're all still hopeful.
You can always go to a French cafe.
We could do that. Yeah. But that's what we said. We want our next baby steps. When we open up our envelopes this year, we want to be in France doing it.
And as you recall that list, how many boxes have you checked, do you think? Or how many boxes did you create?
I made a lot. I mean, when I set goals for myself, I just made 25 or 30. Mm. I just wrote down all the things that I want to do. This year, I was like in this, I call it the fire horse mode. It's the year of the fire horse. It's like anything that came to mind, I just did it. Mm. I just, if I wanted to do that Date My Mate event, I planned it. If I wanted, you know, I started my own business. I did a website. I did, anytime an idea pops in my head, I don't give myself a second to say, you can't do this. I just go do it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's really important. Probably the key takeaway from that portion of this interview is you have to celebrate the small wins. Mm-hmm. And you can't, I mean, some days are going to be harder than others, but for sure you have to like recognize the progress that you've made and give yourself a little bit of a pat on the back or a high five, like Mel Robbins does, a high five
in the mirror.
Yeah. you work with ambitious women, leaders, professionals, athletes, and people navigating burnout or major transitions. What do you see underneath the surface when someone walks into your practice and says, I'm fine, but you know they're not?
Mm-hmm. We all say that.
Yes, we do.
We all say we're fine because we don't have time to not be fine. But when I just coached someone today, that she said, I was saying these things out loud that have been in my head, but saying them out loud and then hearing you repeat them, she said, has made me feel very positive mm-hmm. about my situation. Whereas she came into the coaching session today and very negatively. She's just having a lot of pain, a lot of things aren't going her way lately. And but then towards the end, she was like, I am okay. I still have hope. I still have, you know, all these things going on. So coaching works because we're saying the things that are inside our head out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not doing anything but repeating those back to you either in the same words or in different ways that makes you see, oh, okay, you know, there is something underlying here that I can work with.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, you're also an incredible accountability partner from a perspective of, you know, you do kind of help to celebrate the small wins with those that you're working with and make them realize, you know, this is what you're doing, mm-hmm. you know? So mm-hmm.
We don't give ourselves enough credit.
Yeah.
So that we need other cheerleaders along the way to help us do that.
Actually, let's make this practical. If someone listening right now is overwhelmed, running on empty, or feeling disconnected from themselves, give them one thing that they can do tonight and one thing they can do tomorrow morning to start getting their spark back.
Mm-hmm. I would say gratitude. Gratitude is the number you, and you can do the same thing at night that you can do in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You look back on your day and you can be grateful for anything. You can be grateful that you took a walk and you saw your neighbor had beautiful flowers out. You can be grateful that you got a text message from your high school best friend. You can find anything to be grateful for. And in the morning, again, I'm grateful I had a good night's sleep. I'm grateful I woke up on time. Name three things you're grateful for at night and when you wake up in the morning. And you'll start to see those things more often. We have to train our brain like mm-hmm. we do when we go to the gym. You know, we train our muscles. You have to continuously work them out. It's the same thing with our brain. Our brain wants to think negative thoughts. We have to program it to think positively.
And I want to encourage people to journal and not necessarily write it down. Just speak it into your phone.
Yes.
Three things I'm grateful for. Birds outside, walk down the street, dogs went to the bathroom, whatever it
anything,
is, you know.
Anything. You'll start to see that more often.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You've created the 5-Minute Spark, 30 Days of Mindfulness, group coaching around confidence and positive mindset, and the 6 p.m. Spark. What have you learned about the power of tiny, consistent practices, and why do you keep believing transformation has to be dramatic? Transformation has to be dramatic?
Because we're programmed for that. You know, what we see on social media is you'll see somebody that is 50 pounds heavier. They show their before picture and then they show themselves 50 pounds lighter. But you don't see the middle part.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the whole year it took them of dragging themselves out of bed in the morning and going to the gym and all the choices that they made in choosing the right foods to eat. And you don't see any of that.
Mm-hmm.
All you see is that drama from start to finish. And then you think that you can get that. But that it's not the way that it works. Anything worth doing has to be on repeat.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get those neural pathways in your brain. Just like when we were learning how to walk and talk and type. You have to do it over and over and over. And it's the same thing in achieving goals. In order to achieve your goals, you have to do those same things over and over and over and form that pathway so it becomes easier.
Yeah. You know, so I work full time,
mm-hmm.
right? And I for a fantastic mergers and acquisitions firm. But this is my passion project. It's my pro bono civic duty project, mm-hmm. you know. And it's because I want to bring leadership stories to others, to improve leaders, to share other people's stories, to meet people where they're at mm-hmm. in their journey.
Mm-hmm.
But what time did you get the email that I sent to you? 10 o'clock at night?
Yeah, late.
But this project helps me to breathe.
Yes.
It gives me the creative outlet, but it is absolutely a consistent practice that you have to put, you know, consistent effort towards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it, you know, in the long run, I hope it's making a difference.
Well, you're great at interviewing and it shows that it's something that you've done over and over and over again. You're very at ease. You ask great questions. You know, really, it shows that number one, you're passionate about it. Number two, you have those neural pathways to do it.
Yeah. But while the kids are snoring upstairs, you know, I'm downstairs writing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You recently brought the Spark Effect to Northampton Community College, talking about managing stress, preventing burnout, and protecting creative energy. What is happening in our culture right now that is causing so many high-performing people to lose their spark? And why do we often wait until we're burned out before we actually do something about it, do you think?
I think that we have full calendars but empty lives.
Full calendars but empty lives.
If you take a look at your calendar, you probably have 10 to 20 things that you're doing a day.
Yeah.
But if you mark each one that gives you energy with like a little heart, how many hearts do you think you'd have on those 20 items?
Mm.
Not that many. So the only way that we are going to prevent burnout is to have more hearts on our calendar, more things that are bringing us energy rather than depleting it.
And what are some of your hearts? If listeners are listening and you want some, you know, suggestions, what are some of your hearts?
A walk. I walk to the gym every day. I go to the gym every day. My whole morning routine is my heart. I get out what I need to do first thing in the morning so that if the rest of my day doesn't belong to me, it's okay because I've already done what I want to do. And that is I get up early and I drink a cup of tea. I will journal or I'll read my Bible app or I practice mindfulness. Then I walk a mile to the gym. I work out, walk a mile home. I have a really nice breakfast and Rick and I share coffee and then the day starts.
For the day. And then you get to put your heart.
Then I have my little heart.
You've recently reached another milestone in your professional journey with your national board exam. And I meant to touch on this. You have a Duke certification, right? Mm-hmm. So that's prestigious in and of itself. Duke is a widely recognized, very widely respected institution. Curious why you chose Duke, you know, beyond all of that. But the board exam, as you look at everything you've built and everything you're still building, what scares you now about the next mountain you're willing to climb, and where is that exam taking you?
Well, nothing scares me right now. You know, when you said that, I thought, nothing scares me. I feel like I have surpassed that by doing what I'm doing right now. It's kind of like another notch that says I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, when I get that national board certification, it's the highest certification I can get in health and wellness coaching.
Okay.
But I think it's also for my future clients. There are a lot of coaches out there, and everybody, I talk to so many that do a really, really great job. The national board certification, especially when you've gone through the Duke program, I feel like is elite. They teach coaches about being non-judgmental, these open-ended questions. The way that they teach coaching is like none other. It has nothing to do with the coach and everything to do with the client. Mm. It is 100% client-centric. The client is in the driver's seat. And so I am just a huge proponent of that program. And the National Board Certification basically tells you as a client, I can go to Melissa because not only is she knowledgeable in the coaching aspect, but also the medical side of things. Mm-hmm. If somebody has some type of medical issue, diabetes, or they're looking to lose weight. I mean, within my scope, I can help and guide and support. Yes.
What's next? What do you consider success, and what advice do you have for other women, other leaders, and other entrepreneurs?
Success-wise, I want to keep on having connection events. I think connection events are really, really important. Events where we're all in person, especially for women. You know, there's going to be an epidemic soon of people that are extremely depressed, and it's because people are not going out and connecting with each other. So I'd like to continue with those. I would say to go through your calendar and put little hearts next to the things that energize you. That's how you prevent burnout. That's how you can focus on your values and what you want to bring to yourself. Get curious about what you want out of your life.
Yeah. Melissa, tell me a little bit about a term that you've coined, micro sparks. What is that? How do people do it? How do we get involved? How do people find you, too? Don't forget that, too.
All right. Yeah. So people can find me on Instagram at Balance and Bloom Now.
Okay.
Micro sparks is a made-up word. It's basically the opposite of triggers. So when you're walking throughout your day, something that you can do that will give you an uplifting sort of, powerful outlook on things is a micro spark. Mm. So for me, it's I love deer in a field when the sun is setting and seeing families of deer. It always just makes me stop and kind of suck in my breath and look at it. And so we need to be looking for micro sparks throughout our days. That is going to help us have that positive outlook that I was talking about and kind of just keep our sparks alive.
Yeah. So look for the micro sparks throughout your day. Mm-hmm. I love that. Sage advice. What makes Melissa's story so powerful is that she heard the voice inside her say, there has to be more, and she had the courage to follow it. She traded certainty for purpose and discovered that sometimes the spark we think we've lost was never gone. It was simply buried beneath the noise, the expectations, and everyone else's definition of who we should be. So if you're listening tonight and wondering if it's too late to begin again, it isn't. One honest question, one brave decision, one small spark. Sometimes that's all it takes to change everything. Melissa, thank you for following your spark and for helping others find theirs. And to everyone listening, give yourself permission to bloom, because the world doesn't need another version of who you're supposed to be. It needs the light that only you can bring. I'm Melody Bradford, and this is Trailblazers. Keep blazing your trail.